This is an Encore Like It Is recording. Our topic, remembering the late Congressman John Lewis.
John Lewis and many other marchers attempted to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge one Sunday 36 years ago. On the other side of the bridge were Alabama State Troopers. The encounter was later called Bloody Sunday.
I said, Jose, can you swim? And he said, no. I said, well, there's too much water down there. We're not going to jump. We're not going backward. We're going forward. And we continue to walk. And when we got to the crest, looking over, we saw all of these folks down below.
Yeah.
And we got within hearing distance of the state troopers. A man identified himself and said, I made the John Cloud of the Alabama State Troopers.
Yeah.
This is an unlawful march and will not be allowed to continue. I give you 3 minutes to disperse and return to your church.
Yeah.
And Jose said, may we have a moment to pray. And before we can pass word back for people to kneel and pray.
Yeah.
Major John Cloud said, troopers advance.
Uh-huh.
And you saw these men put in on their gas mask.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And they came toward us, beating us with nightsticks, bullwhips, driving us with horses and releasing the tear gas. And the rest is history.
Yes.
That Sunday became known as Bloody Sunday. Yeah. I was hit in the head by a state trooper with a nightstick and had a concussion on the other side of the bridge. And to this day, this very day, I don't know how I made it back across this bridge.
Yeah.
All the way back to the streets of Selma. And you'll see where Brown Church's Chapel Church is located, right back here.
Mm-hmm.
But I made it back there somehow, in some way, with the help of somebody.
That was Congressman John Lewis of Georgia speaking about Bloody Sunday. I spent a week in Birmingham, Alabama as a case media fellow researching and reporting on the topic Birmingham, Alabama, the effects of poverty, racism, and violence in one American city. Today we'll travel to Selma, Alabama and hear John Lewis and his colleagues speak about Lewis and others' attempt to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge. One of the congressional representatives traveling with Lewis was Minority Leader Richard Gephardt of Missouri. He noted the significance of the civil rights movement and Lewis and others' attempt to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
It's a recounting for people who knew the history but didn't know it well enough of what really happened in Selma in 1965. It's a refreshment of memory about a very significant set of events in our country's history and the world's history. This, in many ways, was as important as the American Revolution and the Civil War. And it's ironic, it was almost 100 years exactly after the Civil War was fought that African Americans and other minorities had to fight here for their basic civil rights, the right to vote. Well, it's moving to be with someone who led this effort, to have him recount for you in the same physical place what happened on that day, how they moved forward in a disciplined way, and they were met by tear gas and police and billy clubs, and violence occurred, and he was hit in the head, and can't even remember how he got back to the church. If that doesn't move you, I don't know what does. It was a very diverse group who came here, but they were united in their love of democracy and human rights, and it was a religious community. They were grounded in faith and religion. Their music surrounded faith and religion, and it was really their religion that sustained all of them in a very, very difficult fight.
Later, at Brown Chapel Church, Representative Gephardt addressed the congregation to mark the occasion.
Reverend Jackson, we are, and I think I speak for everyone in our delegation, we are truly humbled and honored to be in this hallowed place. As I have been sitting here, I've been thinking what must have gone through the minds of John Lewis and his colleagues who were here 36 years ago on that Sunday afternoon that was probably a lot like this afternoon. one thing to know that you're going to face bodily harm for your beliefs. It's another thing to do it. And I was thinking what it would have felt like to know that we were going to leave here in a few minutes and face the tear gas and the billy sticks and the guns, and that we could be killed for our beliefs. When I was a little boy, I always had two questions for my mother. One was, how could I get to heaven? I grew up in a church that looked a lot like this, Reverend, and we'd go to church and Sunday school, and we'd hear about how important it was to get to heaven. So I wanted to know how I was going to get there. And she used to say the scripture that you read this morning, that there's one most important commandment. You should love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love others as much as you love yourself. I always had an easy time with the first part and a hard time with the second part. And then I'd ask her another question. I had a picture in my room that's a lot like that window up there of Jesus. And I'd always ask her, I can see Jesus. Please tell me what God looks like. Where's the picture of God? And she used to always say, you see God whenever you see one human being love another. The really monumental thing about what John and his colleagues did here 36 years ago was that they left this room in a spirit of non-violence. They intended to march, but in a non-violent way. And even if attacked, they agreed among themselves not to hit back. If you're stricken on one cheek, to turn the other. And again, saying it is so much harder than doing it. What happened here is as important as what happened at Lexington and Concord. What happened here is as important as what happened at Gettysburg and other battles across this nation. Almost 100 years after our Civil War, brave young men and women walked from this church to finally claim the basic, most fundamental civil right, the right to vote. I was in South Africa, in Zimbabwe, about 2 years ago. I met a governor in Zimbabwe who had had his legs broken by the Ian Smith government. Three times he had been tortured, spent 17 years in jail. He was now a governor of a province. I asked him how he could forgive the whites who had done this to him. He said, we have to build a country and we can't build a country with hatred. He said, love and forgiveness is the most important power on earth. And he said, we forgive the people that did this to us because we're going to build our country. And then I was with Nelson Mandela and we met his colleagues and they took us out to Robben Island. I asked the same question, how could you be in jail for 26 years and forgive the people that did this to you? And they all said, power and the power in the world is love and forgiveness. And hatred and bitterness hurts you more than who you're hating. And we have to build our country. And then I met a young couple from the United States, the Beals, who had a daughter in California who had gone to South Africa with the Democracy Corps, and in a political rally, she was beaten and killed. And then they went there and they brought her body back to the United States, but they were troubled by what had happened to her and they wanted to make meaning of her death. They went back to South Africa and they set up a bread company called Amy's Bread, that was her name, so they could help people get out of poverty and the conditions that caused the violence that killed their daughter. Then they were asked if they wanted to meet the young men that had killed their daughter, and they said they did, and they met him in the prison three or four times, and then asked that they be relieved of their imprisonment. And they put them to work at Amy's Bread. And now whenever they go back to South Africa, they meet with them and take them out to dinner and see that they're working their way back into society successfully. And as I was standing next to Peter, he was telling me this story. I said, how can you do this? I could not do this if someone had killed my daughter. And he said, hatred and bitterness never solves anything. The power in the world is love and forgiveness. We were standing in the bread company, and all of the South Africans who were working in the bread company were there taking the bread out into the neighborhoods to sell it, to raise money for anti-violence programs and helping the youth of South Africa. And I looked over at Peter, and tears were streaming down his face, and I said, Peter, what's wrong? And he said, Amy's in the room. We're in a room, and John Lewis is in the room. Achieve its potential. The struggle is not ended. The issues are different, but they're the same. We had voting problems in the last election that Bernard so well talked about. They are different problems than we had 36 years ago, but they're just like the problems we had then. And as tough as it will be, we must fight to solve those problems. A third of the young people in our country are being raised in poverty, and we are not investing in them sufficiently so that they can reach their potential, and we must fight that problem and solve it. And we have 22 million people in Africa who are HIV positive and will die unless the rest of the world rises up against this moral issue of our time.
This is an encore like it is recording, remembering the late Congressman John Lewis crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
So John, you're still in the room, and God's in the room. And we see God when we see one human being love another. And more than any other thing that came from your sacrifice comes that message. As you have forgiven the people that did this to you, and you continue to fight, love one another. Thank you.
The marchers left the church and marched to the Edmund Pettus Bridge. There, the Reverend Jesse Jackson recalled the efforts of others who had attempted to cross the bridge.
Cross this bridge, Jimmie Lee Jackson was killed. Across this bridge, the blood of the martyrs was shed to redeem the soul of America. Today, we can turn to John Lewis, who now sits in the Congress, and Congresswoman Waters, and Jefferson, and Gephardt, and Hilliard. But these are the sons and daughters of that struggle. The mission never was just to march across the bridge, because there are challenges beyond the bridge. The forces that sought to deny us the right to vote that day have never conducted a voter registration campaign. They still seek to take away the right to vote. They've used in these 36 years gerrymandering, annexation, at large, roll purging, voter intimidation, census, tracking, redistricting, and now finally, the Supreme Court itself simply intervened and stopped the count. If we go forward, their commitment is voter suppression. Ours is voter registration. We did not let the full uniform this bridge is a vision that the king saw of the one blessed America where black and white in Alabama can find common ground. For beyond the right to vote, the need for shared economic security, the New South agenda. The record, most poor people are neither black nor brown, white or female, they're young. When the white, black, or brown hunger hurts. Beyond this bridge, 40 million Americans have no health insurance. Beyond this bridge, 1,500 die a day from cancer. Beyond this bridge, a coal miner dies every 6 hours from black lung disease. Beyond this bridge, shall we give the budget surplus back to the rich young rulers, shall we bless the common people? Beyond this bridge is a common people struggle that all might have an end to poverty, illiteracy, and disease. You, John Lewis, we say thank you, for your blood was not shed in vain. Your risk was not in vain. And the hosts that wage without the king, it is upon the strength of those martyrs we go forward with dignity. The good news is, because you came across this bridge, we began to sing We Shall Overcome in Gdansk, Poland, in Tiananmen Square, in South Africa. From Selma, you helped to change the world. We thank you and God bless you. Join hands as we pray together to our Father.
Thank you.
For Fred Shuttlesworth. We thank you.
Thank you.
For Ralph Abernathy.
Thank you.
Thank you. For Dr. King.
Dr. King.
We thank you. For Jose Williams.
Jose Williams.
We thank you.
Thank you.
For Albert Turner.
Albert Turner.
We thank you.
Thank you.
For Sunshine.
Sunshine.
We thank you.
Thank you.
For James Bevel.
James Bevel.
We thank you.
Thank you.
For Bernard Lafayette.
Bernard Lafayette.
And the Young.
And the Young.
We thank you.
Thank you.
For Mrs. Foster.
Mrs. Foster.
The nameless.
Nameless.
Faceless.
Faceless.
The humble.
Humble.
Amongst us.
Amongst us.
Took you to your word.
And
faced the brutality of a crucifixion. The thanks be to God. The stone has been rolled away. There was crucifixion. There is now resurrection. Revival.
Revival.
Renewal.
Renewal.
Redemption.
Redemption.
Renewed hope.
No.
We'll go forward.
Go forward.
By faith.
By faith.
Not backwards.
Not backwards.
By fear.
By fear.
Through it all.
Through it all.
We'll get better.
Yeah.
Never bitter.
Never bitter.
Keep hope. Keep alive.
Alive.
We will not.
Surrender.
Our hopes,
our
dreams,
for
our vote, and the right for our vote to count and matter. Hands,
and
once pick cotton,
indeed,
pick presidents, and
congresspeople,
and
legislatures.
Use these hands, these powerful hands, to spread the dream.
Beyond
the mountaintop, all of your children. Amen.
Amen.
Once the marchers had reached the other side of the Pettus Bridge, Jackson spoke of current and future challenges.
On this side of the bridge, there are battles yet to be fought.
Amen.
Forces that sought to deny the right to vote have never given up. They continue with gerrymandering, annexation, at large. Rural Pershing, with intervention and indeed Supreme Court intervention. Thus, the struggle for the right to vote is a very live struggle. If in fact, equal protection is the new theme, then every county and every state must have the same access to the same machine. We cannot afford to have any more votes lost or stolen that way. We still march for the right for every vote to count. I will only say in closing that what's missing in every march, John, is that there is a distinct impression that the march across the bridge was for blacks only. But there's a huge misinterpretation of what happened on the bridge that Sunday. The reality is blacks were enfranchised and whites were empowered. Because we won the march across this bridge, Jimmy Carter could leave a peanut plantation from plants and go to the White House and not be trapped by Southern stigma. Because we won in this march, Bill Clinton could leave Hope, Arkansas and stop by College, Tennessee and pick up Al Gore. Because we won, you could have the Cowboys in Dallas.
or the Olympics in Atlanta, or CNN in Atlanta, Super Bowl, and because we won, we changed America and the entire world. There's a new America out here on this side of the bridge. Lest we forget Dr. King's last struggle to convene people multiracially on a new agenda of shared economic security. Today, we march on a budget surplus that must be invested in the common people, not in the rich young ruler. Today, we march for health care for every American, for adequate public transportation, and the right to breathe clean air and drink clean water. Today, we march and challenge the Bush administration. Don't give that money back to people who don't need it. Invest in health care and education and job security. Today, we march because 1,500 Americans die a day from cancer. Because the coal miner dies from black lung disease every 6 hours. Because we can no longer have first-class jails and second-class schools. We challenge white and black Alabama to come together. We can pay taxes together and fight war together. We can fight toxic war together, fight toxic waste together, and educate our children together. So in the name of those who made this struggle possible, let us keep hope alive and fight for a one big ten America. Let all of us say thank you, mothers. Thank you, for your shared blood. Thank you, John Lewis, for taking the risk. Thank you, Jose Williams, Dr. King, showing us how, showing us the way. We will never surrender. Through it all. We'll get better and never bitter. And keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Love you.
Remarks from Jesse Jackson speaking at the Edmund Pettus Bridge in support of John Lewis. John Lewis, the man who had been severely beaten for attempting to cross the bridge, addressed the crowd.
Let me say to you, my dear brothers and sisters, 36 years ago, when we walked across this bridge, we didn't have any elected officials walking across that bridge with us. We didn't have any black elected officials. We didn't have any white elected officials. But now we come back to Selma and we have a black mayor walking across the bridge with us. Last year we came, the President of the United States walked across the bridge with us. So it's good to be back in Selma and cross this bridge one more time.
You've been listening to an encore like it is recording, remembering the late Congressman John Lewis crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge. I'm Bob Franklin. I'll be back next week with 30 more minutes of good conversation on another edition of Like It Is.
I'll leave you with civil rights songs that help fuel the movement.
Well, I'm fighting for my freedom. We shall not be moved. Fighting for my freedom. We shall not be moved. Oh. but it was something like this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine over this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine. Tell everybody we shall not be blue just like a-